talkradio.org or ask your smart speaker to play Radio Catskill.
Live from the WJFF studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, Dan Hoost is here from Sullivan County Government, and he's got some big news for the town of Liberty. A $20 million grant. We'll find out where that money is going to go. The narrative has to change. That's what local leaders are saying about welcoming migrants. With immigration the focus of political battles on the state and national level, a group of 30 leaders is working to figure out how to best handle those who have arrived in New York in a bipartisan, non-political way. The Times Union's Maria Silva has more. She also tells us about the reluctant decision to cut down the iconic message tree at the site of the Woodstock Festival. And Tracy Gates is here from the Liberty Library with some upcoming events in October, including a housing discussion, housing needs assessment conducted for Sullivan County senior citizens. First, the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Stocks opened higher this morning after a stronger-than-expected report about the U.S. job market. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped about 150 points in early trading.
U.S. employers added 254,000 jobs in September, and job gains for July and August were also revised substantially higher. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate dipped to 4.1%, even as 150,000 people joined or rejoined the workforce, according to a separate survey of households. Restaurants, retailers, and construction companies all added jobs in September, while the manufacturing sector cut 7,000 jobs. Average wages last month were up 4% from a year ago. Given the strong jobs report, investors think the Federal Reserve will proceed cautiously in lowering interest rates, with a modest quarter percentage point cut expected next month. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
The foreign minister of Iran has arrived in Lebanon as Israel continues attacking that country. Iran backs and funds Hezbollah militants in Lebanon. There were heavy Israeli airstrikes overnight in the capital, Beirut. Israel says it is targeting Hezbollah leaders and has killed 20 of them. Meanwhile, an Israeli airstrike in the Israeli-occupied West Bank overnight killed 18 people, according to Palestinian health officials. NPR's Kat Lonsdorf has more.
The airstrike hit a crowded area in the Tal'Qarm refugee camp in the West Bank late Thursday night. It was the deadliest strike in the West Bank since the war in Gaza began last October, after Hamas led attack on southern Israel. It was unclear immediately how many more were wounded. Israel says the strike killed a Hamas leader. Hamas condemned the strike, but did not say that any of its leaders were killed. Israeli airstrikes in the West Bank had been very rare over the last 20 years, but have been used regularly in the past year, as Israel's military tactics in the West Bank, which it says are necessary for, quote, counterterrorism, have become more violent and deadly. Almost 700 Palestinians have been killed in the West Bank by the Israeli military in the past year. More than 150 of those were from airstrikes, according to the UN. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Former President Donald Trump is returning to Butler, Pennsylvania tomorrow to hold a rally. It's where a man shot at Trump with an assault-style rifle in July, nicking his ear and drawing blood. Local and state officials were faulted for security lapses, so was the Secret Service. Leslie Oshie is the chair for Butler County's Board of Commissioners. She says local officials are confident in their security preparations.
We have the benefit of learning, you know, from the prior event. And I know that our team, you know, led by our emergency management director, did an after action and review of everything that, you know, that occurred and what can we do better and what can be different.
Last month, a report by the Senate Homeland Security Committee issued a scathing report on failures by the Secret Service in protecting Trump. The Secret Service also admitted failure, saying communication broke down with local leaders. This is NPR. A strike by unionized dock workers on the U.S. East and Gulf Coasts has been suspended. The union has reached agreement with operators at more than a dozen ports and ocean carriers for wage increases. These are more than 60% over 6 years, but not all issues were resolved, and that includes the role of automation at ports. Last night, Britain announced it is giving up sovereignty over one of its last colonies, the remote but strategic Chagos Islands. They're in the Indian Ocean. NPR's Lauren Freyer reports from London. That has prompted calls for Britain to hand back another territory, too.
Argentina's foreign minister says Britain's transfer of the Chagos Islands to neighboring Mauritius is a step in the right direction. She posted on social media that she wants to, quote, recover full sovereignty for another remote archipelago, which Argentina calls Las Malvinas and Britain calls the Falklands. Those islands are in the far South Atlantic, off Argentina's east coast. The two countries fought a war over them in 1982. They remain part of the UK, though Argentina considers them occupied. In a statement, the top British official on the island said the situations for the Chagos and Falklands are actually very different, and that the UK won't agree to anything that jeopardizes its sovereignty over the Falklands. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, London.
The Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta kicks off tomorrow in New Mexico. More than 100 hot air balloonists will launch into the air over 9 days in a spectacular show of color. Thousands of spectators will be on hand. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Wallace Foundation, working to develop and share practices that can improve learning and enrichment for young people and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas and information at wallacefoundation.org.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. It's Friday, and we are checking in with Dan Hoost, who is the communications director for Sullivan County Government. He joins us every Friday. Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. Happy Friday.
To you as well.
And there was not a legislative meeting yesterday.
Nope.
But you've got some big news for the town of Liberty. Mm-hmm. I think I saw this come across as well. It's a $20 million grant. Tell us more about what this money is, where it's coming from, and what it'll do.
Yeah.
It's a big number.
Largest in the region, they announced through the Empire State Development, which is a state agency, their FAST New York program. I wish I could tell you what FAST FAST stands for, because I've looked it up left and right.
No?
Now, I can't find it. Of course, that gives Tim reason to.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, he's going to look it up for us. But of course, you know, it's about improving the economics and for building out our business infrastructure, and that's what this is doing. It's $20 million to the town of Liberty to extend its sewer and water systems that exist closer to the village of Liberty, south along Old Route 17 to the town of Thompson Line. It might even be over the town of Thompson Line. I don't know. It gets very close to that line, mm-hmm. to create a corridor for development. And we have had developers interested in that because it's got easy access to two different exits on Route 17. It's in an area that's already zoned for industrial development.
These are those shovel-ready
yep.
grants, right?
Mm-hmm. But it does not have water and sewer service, which is really a must. That's a deal breaker if you don't have it these days. So we, Sullivan County, had been working with the Town and Village of Liberty and the Partnership for Economic Development, which was the real leader on all of this, to apply for this FAST New York grant. Have you found out, by the way, what FAST
stands
for?
No, it just seems like it's FAST.
I know.
Oh, wait. Focused Attraction of Shovel-Ready Tracts.
Okay, say that three times fast.
Let's just call it fast.
Yeah, that's why they call it fast.
Focused Attraction of Shovel-Ready Tracts. I want the t-shirt.
Yeah,
I
think, that's going to be the way you practice for your radio show every morning, right?
Oh, my God. It's designed to prepare and develop sites to increase the chances of large employers and high manufacturing companies to settle in those locations.
And we already have the interest. We've had developers interested in that area. It's up near I think Pest Tech is up there, and I'm blanking on the name, but there's other industries up in that area. So it is ripe for development, except for the lack of this municipal sewer water service. So we, through this $20 million grant, are going to be able to provide that with the town and the village of Liberty. It is really exciting news. It even intrigued Congressman Mark Molinaro, who got us $1 million more from the federal government. He announced that a few months ago in a little press conference we had at the nondescript entrance to to one of these sites. But it is really good news, and it could create a wonderful array of local employment opportunities and what we call tax rateables, meaning businesses that help provide a solid foundation of a tax base.
Well, Empire State Development announced $25 million in FAST New York grants on Tuesday, and $20 million of that is going to the town of Liberty. I mean, that's huge. So what does this mean for the town and just attracting more businesses?
Yeah, it's huge news because, like I said, now that we have the money, we already know we have the interest from developers. And we're not talking about heavy, heavy industry. We're talking about what you would consider light industry, like warehousing. Maybe there would be an interest in a healthcare facility there that could be very useful. The possibilities are really, in many ways, endless. We've got 2.4 million square feet of pre-approved sites, with another 1.7 million square feet in the approvals process through the Partnership for Economic Development. This is about having shovel-ready sites available, and it's just the perfect spot for it. It's not the kind of thing that is going to be disruptive to residents or the environment. It's already zoned for what it needs to be zoned for. Like I said, it just needed this service. And hopefully within a year or two, we will have that service there. I don't know how long it takes to extend these kinds of things.
Well, it's a good shot in the arm for the town of Liberty, which, you know, folks want to see succeed. And so this could help move it along and improve some things.
Well, and it's a good shot in the arm for all of Sullivan County, too. Yep. It's a potential to be to have a number of very significant employers in the area. You know, I wouldn't count out that we might see, for example, an Amazon distribution warehouse sited up there. I'm not saying that they're interested. I don't know anything like that. But it's that kind of interest that can be generated from extending this water and sewer service.
All right. We have, what, 32 days till the election? 33? The election's coming. Let's just say that.
yeah, actually, I mean, it's November 5th, oh so gosh, I would so say 30 days. 30. It's exactly a month.
Wow. And so you've got your sample ballots and early voting info up now on the county website. Let's remind folks about voter registration and some of those other key deadlines and important dates leading up to the election day.
Yeah, October is not just busy for candidates. It's busy for our Board of Elections, which has been working very hard. They just finished 2 days worth of training of our election inspectors, who, by the way, our inspectors were paid $40 for that training. So while it's too late to sign up to become an inspector this year, we always could use inspectors. So you want to talk to us about it, we'll be happy to sign you up for next year. We have, I think, on Election Day, about 35 different polling sites throughout Sullivan County. And each of those needs to have, I believe, at least two election inspectors on hand at any given time. I think they run from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. So it was great to see the turnout. We had a full hearing room at the Government Center of election inspectors being trained. But now the onus is as much on the voter as anything. If you aren't registered to vote yet, that's the first step. We are happy to do so with our Board of Elections. We have voter registration happening on October 5th, which is today, right?
No, today's the 4th.
Tomorrow. I got my mixed up when I said November 5th. That's right. October 5th, tomorrow, from 2 to 9 p.m. And October 10th, which is next week. I'm not going to try to figure out the day because I'm mixed up already. October 10th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., both of them at the Government Center, 100 North Street in Monticello. Our Board of Elections Commissioners, Lori Benjamin and Deanna Senek, are like, come on out. We want to sign you up. You only have to be a U.S. citizen, a resident of Sullivan County no less than 30 days before Election Day, so basically you have to be a resident by now, at least 18, or will be by Election Day. If you turn 18 like November 4th, you can vote in the November 5th election as long as you're registered, and we can get that happening ahead of time. You can't claim to vote elsewhere in the same election. I know a lot of people like to vote down in the city where they have an apartment or another residence. You got to pick one or the other. You can't vote in both places. And, of course, you can't be an incarcerated felon, although if you're out of prison, you can vote, or be judged mentally incompetent by a court. I didn't realize that part of it as well. That was interesting when I saw that. So we have that available. Plus, we have sample ballots for those who are already registered to take a look and see what is the ballot going to look like in my polling place in my town. There are a number of different ballots because some towns have town-level races. The village of Woodridge has a mayoral race going on. Town of Mamikating has wards instead of they have wards that split the town into further districts. So you want to see what that is. The village of Bloomingburg has village level elections happening. One of the towns has an extra proposition. Although everybody has a statewide proposition to vote on, so make sure when you're actually at the polling place that you flip that ballot over and vote on the proposition. But we have the proposition available on the county website as well. It's all on our Board of Elections page. And of course, if you want to vote early rather than waiting for Election Day, starting Saturday, October 26th and running through Sunday, November 3rd, we will be offering early voting in the Government Center in Monticello and at our Public Health Office, which is in our Social Services Complex in Liberty.
And so, again, the Board of Elections is registering voters on Saturday tomorrow from 2 to 9 and Thursday, October 10th, from 10 to 5
Thank
at the
you.
Government Center. But you can register up until the 26th of October.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to receive that registration by mail or in person
yes.
by that date.
But as I've been telling people, don't wait till the last moment.
No.
Why do you have to?
And then early voting in New York is from the 26th through, what's the date again? Is it
Sunday, November 3rd
right.
for early voting in Sullivan County. It could be a little bit different in other counties. That's what we have set up. You'll want to check on our website because we have different times on different days. Some days are 9 to 5. Other days are noon to 8 because those of us who work 9 to 5 but may want to early vote, we need some days where we can go out there and actually be able to early vote without having to leave work early.
And a reminder, this is specific to Sullivan County. Check with your local Board of Elections if you're listening to us elsewhere outside Sullivan
yeah.
County. In Pennsylvania, if you're listening, check with your local boards there because it varies from state to state as well.
Oh, yes.
So please do check and please do vote. If you're just joining us, we are speaking to Dan Hoost. He is the communications director for Sullivan County Government. And he stops by every Friday just to have a chin wag. And so we're talking about some other stuff that's going on at the local level in Monticello. There's the reconstituted Human Rights Commission. You're still looking for volunteers there.
Yeah, this is pretty exciting. Our legislators are like, you know, let's talk about putting in a full-time executive director, which we never had before, and then reforming the Human Rights Commission, which has got 9 commissioners, 9 basically, they're sort of like directors on a board, who, let's see, I don't think the commission has met in about a little over 2 years. Our Human Resources Division has been handling concerns and complaints, so it hasn't been the commission in terms of how it operates hasn't been defunct, but there hasn't been an actual 9-member board of commissioners. The legislators want to change that. Each legislator gets to appoint somebody or at least nominate somebody. The full legislature makes the determination on the appointments, but legislators need to hear from people who are interested. I know already we've put out this press release about it. At least 2 people I talked to who said, all right, how do I get in touch with my legislator? Easiest way to do it, unless you catch them in the grocery store, is to call the clerk of the legislature, the legislative office, at 845-807-0435. That's 807-0435. She, Annie, or Kathy, whoever answers, will make sure that the legislators are made aware that you are interested. They might also ask you for a letter of interest, but at the very least, just give a phone call to that. And then in 2025, I think they're going to make the decision on who's going to actually be on the commission. I believe, but this is speculation right now, they're going to want to have staggered terms for the commissioners. So probably there'll be 3 who have a 1-year term, 3 who have a 2-year term, and 3 who have the full normal 3-year term. And then thereafter, everyone would have a 3-year term so that you're not sliding off the entire board of commissioners after the 3-year term ends. Because I do think that is a term limit. I think you can only serve 3 years and then you have to let somebody else be in that seat. But at least to start the staggered terms, I think they're going to have that 1-2-3 setup. One thing that I do want to mention is the Human Rights Commission's charged with fostering mutual respect and understanding among all racial, religious, and national groups within the county, and on a broader level, promotes equality and prevents discrimination. That's all important, but they do not have investigative abilities. So if that's something that either is interesting you or not interesting you in it, you can sort of take that off your table. Anything that requires an actual true legal investigation would be shunted up to the New York State Office of Civil Rights, I think it's called, or Human Rights.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break, and we'll be back with more from Dan Hoos, Communications Director from Sullivan County Government, including a clothing swap, a hiring event, and a resource fair for seniors. You're listening to Radio Chatsco.
The Narrowsburg Chamber of Commerce presents Logging Days, 11 to 5, Saturday, October 5th, Fireman's Field, Narrowsburg, featuring the New York State Lumberjack Association's Lumberjack Contest, Beard and Mustache Contest, Axe Throwing, Line Dancing Lessons, Baking Contest, Kids Activities, Beer Garden, Food, and more. Logging Days, 11 to 5, Saturday, October 5th in Narrowsburg. More information at welcometonarrowsburg.com. Paid for by the Narrowsburg Chamber of Commerce.
Hi, this is Jeff, your host on Radio Catskill's Electric Mountain, featuring the very best of global dance music. I play the best of dance music from back in the day to today, and every week I'll feature a guest DJ spinning a continuous set bringing their unique style. Come dance with us on Electric Mountain each and every Saturday night, 12 to 2, exclusively on Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. A quick note, our fall fun drive is getting underway. You may have received a letter in the mail. If you have, please support us. Go to wjffradio.org. Help keep public radio alive and thriving in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania and beyond. We're talking to Dan Hoost. He's the Communications Director for Sullivan County Government. Joins us every Friday. And you've got some news of a couple of events that SALT, Sullivan Allies Leading Together, are putting on, including one that's happening tomorrow at the Polk Park.
Yes, we're a part, actually several of our agencies, like Office for the Aging and our Department of Social Services and Community Services, are a part of SALT. This is a group of a whole bunch of different government and non-government agencies that try to help people who are in need of food, of shelter, of services of some sort. So tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Creekside Park, which I know as La Polk Park in Liberty, they're having the Liberty Unity event, which is going to have free food, free games, free live music, because, as their motto is, together we're better. I love that simple thing, and I'm surprised I've never heard that before. But, yeah, together we're better. and their particular mission is to combat stigma by fostering healthy human development for all. So that's what this Liberty Unity event's going to be about. It's just about being human, enjoying being together with other human beings and learning about what services are offered in the community. There is a lot out there to help people who are in all sorts of situations. And I know that JFF often has different groups on, like a Single Bite and the Federation for the Homeless, that are here to help people in all sorts of situations. But the thing is, they need to know about it. JFF helps with that. SALT is all about that as well. That's what the Liberty Unity event's about.
That is tomorrow. It is a free event. It goes from 11 to 3 again at La Polk Park in Liberty, also known as Creekside Park.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah. I didn't know that it had changed. No, I always knew it as La Polk.
Me too. So. Okay. Also, then there's a clothing, or sorry, a hiring event. Wait, there is a clothing shop.
Yes. See, I'm not the only one who gets mixed up.
Oh, boy. There's a clothing swap that SALT is also doing. There's also a hiring event, but first we're going to talk about this clothing swap. That's coming up for the youth on October 19th.
Yep. It's part of a national event called the Great Give Back. It's the fourth annual youth clothing swap. It's going to be at the Ethelbert B. Crawford Public Library. That's the Monticello Library right there on Broadway on Saturday, October 19th from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. You can either be somebody who donates ahead of time or come and shop on the day of. They're looking for clean baby to teen size clothes, shoes, or costumes for the swap. You can drop it off at the children's circulation desk anytime from now through October 11th. No toys or clothing meant for older adults. This is just for babies, children, and teens. You don't need to donate to shop. However, if you want to find some new-to-you clothes, just come on Saturday, October 19th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come on over to the Crawford Library, and you will be welcomed with open arms. Just another wonderful community-oriented thing we do.
Give back. That hiring event is at the Center for Workforce Development, which is happening, Thursday?
Yes, this coming Thursday, October 10th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the County Career Center, which is on North Street, Monticello. It's just down the road from the Government Center. It's near what most people know, the Monticello Elks Lodge there. And so we're going to have, of course, we're always hiring at the county, but we're going to have the Children's Home of Wyoming, which is who we work with for our foster care program. They actually have a residential child care facility in Liberty right on North Main Street, and they're hiring for a residential child care worker. But we're hiring for all sorts of different things. As I think they just had a jobs report come out nationally.
Yeah, this morning.
That it's like roaring. Mm-hmm. And Sullivan County, we have more jobs going on left and right than we can fill. We have been for the past 2.5 years within the top 5 job growth rankings statewide every month consistently, and that hasn't changed. The problem is that we don't have enough people to fill all those jobs. And, of course, that spills into housing issues and other things. But, listen, if you're looking for a job, there is a job waiting for you. Our career center is waiting for you to come talk to them. So you don't even have to wait till October 10th if you want to just stop by the career center at 50 North Street in Monticello.
And just a note, that was this morning. Businesses reported adding 254,000 jobs in September that the government reported this morning. That number far surpassed forecast and was the strongest monthly gain since March. The unemployment rate fell to 4.1% as well. We're speaking to Dan Hoost, who is the communications director for Sullivan County Government. He joins us every Friday with news from Monticello and for the county. There is an annual public hearing and resource fair for seniors coming up. What is this annual public hearing all about, and what kind of things and resources are there for
this
seniors?
This is required by the state, the public hearing, but that's sort of the Lisanne at our aging division office, forgive me. That's sort of the more boring part. The senior resource fair is the great part of it. It runs from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Wednesday, October 23rd. It's something we do, a bi-level thing in the government center. The public hearing part of it is on the second floor in our hearing room. It's really mostly about what the Office for the Aging is planning for the year ahead. You can weigh in on what you think the office should be doing. So it's important, even though, you know, I said it was boring, but you probably should go anyway, you know, and Lisa and I apologize. So it's one of
those. There's a procedural part of it.
Yeah, so it's important. And then also from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. is the Senior Resource Fair. It's in the lobby of the Government Center with refreshments available. So I might even go down. No, I'm not old enough yet to qualify for that. But, boy, I'm really hitting rock bottom here.
You're digging yourself into a hole here.
Now, this is actually a very great event that we do. The Resource Fair is actually really exciting and fun. It's full of vendors. It's full of people talking and meeting. It is like, it really is one of the big social events of the year in the Government Center. Mm-hmm. That and Halloween actually is coming up with the little kids. But this is for folks who are 55 years of age and older. It is amazing what our Office for the Aging does and the kinds of services it offers to the public. Please come to it. Don't listen to me about the boring part of it. Listen, if you want, you can hang out in the resource fair part of it.
There are cookies, though.
It is wonderful. It really is.
What are some of the resources that are there? It's basically what the Office of the Aging is providing.
And our partners to let folks know. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some things that people don't even realize. We have free equipment that we can get you. Canes, walkers, wheelchairs that you basically rent from us at no cost. We even have ways of finding. I just found out for the other day for somebody that there was a person who had sadly passed away who used a fairly new scooter, an electric scooter to get around for those who can't walk on their own. And we made sure that got to somebody who could use it. It would have cost them thousands of dollars, but instead they got it for just the cost of coming to pick it up. These things are important.
Yeah, and that is coming up on October 23rd from 10 to 2. Also, you're expanding your social media presence. The county is. So Yep. Where are you now?
We are on the Nextdoor platform, which if you haven't seen it, you should check it out.
Oh,
it's it's represented by a green circle with an N in the middle of it. It's very noticeable. It's similar to Facebook or Instagram, except that it is completely about neighbors helping neighbors. It's not about politics. It's not about trying to have big, long debates with one another on social media. This is the kind of thing, actually, in some ways, social media the way you want it to be, or at least I do. We are on it now. Nextdoor has partnered with us. They have a special app for county governments in particular for us to put out information, alerts. It's basically another platform, another way to engage with us, especially if you aren't on any other social media. Check it out on Nextdoor. If you sign up for Nextdoor and you live in Sullivan County, you will be auto-subscribed to our channel and be able to find out more information. Of course, don't give up on listening to WJFF.
or you know, going to the SullivanNY.us website. There's so many plays to interact. congratulations in order for John Hochschild, the Deputy Public Safety Commissioner.
Yes, he has been with us for many, many years, but he's been with the Jeffersonville Fire Department even longer, since I think he was a teenager. And he just, from the Sullivan County Volunteer Firefighters Association, earned their Lifetime Achievement Award. I said to him, I said, this is like the Lifetime Academy Award. this is something that is very rarely given out, and it's given to those people who have demonstrated a continuing tenaciousness, fidelity, ethical appropriateness to the cause of the fire service in Sullivan County. And he still fights fires. He is our Bureau of Fire Coordinator, so he oversees fire investigations as well. And he is the deputy, very recently named, the Deputy Commissioner of our Division of Public Safety. He is one of Sullivan County's true treasures and gems, and we are so excited that he got this very well-earned, well-deserved Lifetime Achievement Award.
I actually heard about this before you came in. Do you know why?
No, why?
Because my car was stopped in front of the Jeffersonville Fire Department during the construction for several minutes, and I was able to read their sign.
Oh, their sign.
And they have a congratulations on the sign. So one of the benefits, the bright side of the construction, and we should note there is a construction on New York State Route 52 yes. in Jeffersonville through Monday, October 7th, through 11:59 p.m. Monday, exactly, they say, in the village of Jeffersonville. Do give yourself some extra time if you are traveling through that way, as I discovered this morning on my way to work. You can also call or email the village of Jeffersonville for more information. And before we go, some holiday wishes.
Yes. Happy New Year, or if I pronounce it correctly, Shana Tova, to those who observe Rosh Hashanah. To everyone who's listening, the county recognizes the holiday as, of course, a joyous one, and wants to wish everybody a Happy New Year for that.
All right. Dan Hoost is the communications director for Sullivan County Government. He joins us every Friday. And thank you for coming in, and we hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll learn more about how some local leaders in the Hudson Valley are working to figure out how to best handle those who have arrived in New York in a bipartisan, non-political way. Local leaders and what they're saying about welcoming migrants. Next, this is Radio Catskill.
Radio Catskill supporters include the Sterling Business and Technology Park, located at Exit 17 on Interstate 84 in Northeast Pennsylvania, offering opportunities to locate or expand businesses on property zoned for manufacturing and other uses. More information at sterlingbusinesspark.com. And listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Hi, Angela Page from Folk Plus. On the Folk Plus shows that I create, they are lyrically driven and based on a theme. I choose the songs with music that moves my heart and lyrics that engage our minds. Take an intelligent, intimate journey with today's singer-songwriters and join me on Folk Plus, Sundays at 4.
Last night I saw the horse king when he was in his prime.
Last year, over 100,000 people died from drug overdoses driven by fentanyl. And the fastest growing group is under 19. Fentanyl is the number one cause of overdose in Sullivan County. Whether you're a parent or an educator, you can have the right conversation now to potentially save a kid's life. Protect kids from the dangers of fentanyl. More information and resources at naturalhigh.org. Paid for by Catholic Charities of Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. The arrival of more than 100,000 asylum seekers in New York over the last year and a half has left local officials looking for ways to meet their needs. A bipartisan coalition of 30 statewide leaders and advocacy groups met in the Hudson Valley recently to help communities realize the potential migrants present to stimulate the local economy and to talk about how the region can welcome them. Times Union Hudson Valley staff writer Maria Silva was there.
Organizing this session was the Ellis Island Initiative, which is a bipartisan coalition of statewide leaders and advocacy groups. And really, you know, the session was about 2 hours long, and during it, we were split into two groups, and we were able to discuss current obstacles preventing the integration of immigrants. And we were also able to come up with solutions to those obstacles, such as, you know, how to help immigrants navigate life here once they arrive, you know, such as language barriers, improving the access to healthcare, access to basic needs and immigration legal assistance, for example. And some of these solutions that the group brought up would be also educating employers who are looking to hire immigrants. Once those receive work authorization, how does that work? How can we strengthen the pipeline to bring immigrants to these companies that are desperate looking for work, for employees? And so it was a really interesting meeting and full of different voices, very diverse voices.
And according to the Ellis Island Initiative, over the last year and a half, New York has welcomed more than 100,000 asylum seekers who've fled violence and persecution in their home countries. With numbers that large, obviously, as you mentioned, there are some obstacles. Can you talk a little bit more about the obstacles that folks were discussing at this conference?
Yeah, well, you know, there's this narrative too that, you know, immigrants come here with low skills, but a lot of these immigrants also come with degrees and PhDs. And once they arrive here, they find that their education may not be, you know, be transferable to these jobs, like healthcare. If someone is a nurse back in their home country, how can we transfer those credits? How can we transfer that education here? But also, you know, in the most basic level, a lot of or many of immigrants and asylum seekers really struggle with access to basic needs, you know, beyond the immigrants that were, you know, bused upstate who were staying in hotels. But people who are in our communities already are struggling to find work, obviously, affordable housing, childcare, that is a big problem for not just immigrants, but also people from here, right? There are a lot of obstacles that are preventing immigrants to really survive here, let alone thrive. So what this meeting was, you know, intended to do is, you know, raise awareness about those and really encourage local leaders to start thinking of solutions.
And one of the obstacles certainly is some of the rhetoric, the messaging around immigrants and immigration issues that have become increasingly contentious in this presidential election. In your story in the Times Union, you spoke to the Ellis Island Initiative Coalition's lead strategist, Stephen Choi. What did he say about common sense solutions?
Yeah. A big focus of this meeting was, regardless of you know, politics, he encouraged people to leave politics at the door and go to this meeting with, you know, an open mind and looking for these bipartisan solutions that would really work for everyone, right? That was a big component of this meeting, you know, was the need to change this narrative that asylum seekers are, quote unquote, you know, illegally here, and that they're here to, quote unquote, take our jobs, which we see that that's not the case. The coalition really argued that these immigrants and asylum seekers have so much potential to stimulate local economies by filling jobs and becoming consumers and taxpayers.
Stephen Choi, the former executive director of the New York Immigration Coalition, mentioned it's not about taking jobs. He said, quote, they can fill the 500,000 job openings that exist across New York State, and they can really catapult communities to the next level of economic prosperity if we figure out the right common sense solutions, end quote. Did you leave this feeling a bit more hopeful about how folks are addressing immigration in the state?
Yeah, it appears that the Ellis Island Initiative is looking to bring together key participants from the six regions that of New York State that it has toured so far in the past year. And they're looking to elevate these findings and bring the conclusions and solutions from sessions like Kingston's to the state legislature as it enters the next session, and also, you know, potentially also the governor, right? The goal here is to come up with solutions together to help immigrants integrate into our local communities and not just go from phase one of, okay, we're covering all their basic needs, but what's the next phase? What's the next level to really help them thrive and integrate into our local communities?
Another story you're bringing to us today is something we wouldn't normally cover. We don't normally do a lot of stories about trees, but this story is about a very historic tree at the original Woodstock site. Can you tell us a little more about that?
So this is a bittersweet story about Woodstock's message tree. This was a 60-foot-tall red maple tree located on the site of the famous Woodstock 69 Festival in Bethel Woods. We saw last week that the tree was, sadly cut down because of its old age and because it was deemed that its structural integrity was too low to be considered safe. This tree was approximately 100 to 150 years old, and it had been showing some signs of deterioration in the past 10 years or so. This tree was really important because it became a landmark for those lucky ones who attended the festival, the legendary festival in 1969, as it was this visible element that stood out, towered over the sea of people, obviously besides the stage. So it was really easy for people to kind of navigate the grounds of Bethel Woods, thanks to this big, big tree that was there. And it also, it served a purpose for those who attended because this, concert goers were using this as a bulletin board where people posted different messages. We saw, some were trying to locate their friends. Others were looking to arrange rides. While others, interestingly, were also looking to find, a missed romantic connection that they might have found there. Yeah. Some of those notes are still are at the Bethel Woods Center for the Arts Museum.
Yeah, one of those notes that they have at the museum reads, quote, Susan, meet you here Saturday, 11 a.m., 3 p.m., or 7 p.m., with the first word appearing to be written in lipstick, and another one signed by someone named Dan in black ink on a paper plate that said, quote, to Cindy with the black hair and the sister, I'm sorry I was too untogether to remember to ask for your address. So some great preservation of some of the notes on the message tree. Bethel Woods plans to keep the message tree's legacy alive, though, right?
Yes, yeah. Back in 2015, when the tree was starting to show these more visible signs of slowing down and deteriorating, the organization took tree cuttings that were grafted onto saplings, and these will grow into a new generation of message trees and will preserve the original tree's DNA. I know that at least one has been planted on the concert grounds. The organization is also looking to add more in the future including one near the site of the original tree in this sort of regenerative planting ceremony. Although we still don't know the details for that planting ceremony, but we'll make sure to share more. Other, you know, another goal that Bethel Woods has to really keep the message tree's legacy alive is to, you know, look for artists that to create works of art using the wood from the original tree. It's looking for proposals. Anyone can submit their proposal, and you know, as long as it is by December 31st this year, and project winners will be notified in January. So these works will be exhibited at the museum next year. But you know, really, I think the important part of this, you know, rather besides the fact that this was a really old tree, right, that had, you know, a purpose at the time, I think that more than that, it really became a symbol of community and almost, you know, a living remnant of this legendary festival that connected us here 55 years later to, you know, this legendary festival. So I think that is really cool.
And you can find that information about how to enter at BethelWoodsCenter.org. And we're talking to Maria Silva, who's from the Times Union Hudson Valley team. You can find her once a month at Radio Kingston's La Voz as well, sharing Times Union stories in Spanish. Maria, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll take a break and we'll be back with more. Tracy Gates is here from the Liberty Public Library about all of the super and scary October events coming up. This is Radio Chatskill.
Music from a musician's perspective. I'm Kathy Geary, and on Now and Then, we explore the artistry of the singer-songwriter. Now and Then, Saturday afternoons at 3 on Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Hey, it's Matt Hurtado from Virtual Soundscapes, the video game music show only on Radio Catskill. In celebration of Halloween, join me every Thursday night at 10 p.m. this month for spooky video game music and exclusive interviews with the developers of Cryptmaster, Dead by Daylight, Puppet Master, and The Mortuary Assistant. That's every Thursday at 10, only on Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Artist Cottage Bed and Breakfast, a newly renovated farmhouse that sleeps four with full gourmet cooked breakfast provided daily, located near the top of Hauk Mountain Road in the town of Walton. More information at greatwesterncatskills.com.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. The Liberty Public Library has many events in October, and they're also wondering, why is the last day of October called Halloween? Well, we'll find out from Tracy Gates from the Liberty Public Library, but we're going to wait. First, we're going to talk about some other events coming up.
Hey, Tim.
That's a big tease. You guys have a big event actually coming up this Monday.
Yes,
it's about housing in Sullivan County with guest speakers from the Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress. Tell us a little bit about what this event is. There's some results of an assessment that has been done for housing for seniors.
Yes, and I noticed that you had had someone on who was talking about housing for immigrants up here, but seniors, it's housing is super important. And this is our senior coffee club that takes place at 10:30 on Monday the 7th, and it's such a great event that we have every first Monday of the month. And so this coming Monday, they'll be talking about, as you just said, the Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress. We'll be talking about housing. They're going to learn about the results of a recent housing needs assessment that was done specifically for Sullivan County senior citizens, as well as a housing trust fund that would allow Sullivan County to invest in the rehabilitation of housing here in the county, as well as the construction of new housing to help close the gap on the county's housing shortage. and a lot of other research. So they're just going to cover their, it'll be about an hour. They're going to cover all these things. There'll be questions, a question and answer period. And I think it's, we're going to make sure that there's plenty of seats available for this one.
I mean, such an important topic. And the great thing about the library is you have topics and activities for every age and every type of activity. But you're tackling a big issue here, which is and providing a forum to discuss that.
Exactly. And actually, the woman that or the team that puts this together, and I do have to say it's not me, but they really get some great speakers. So I would encourage people to, if they can't get to this, just look at to see what's happening every month, because there's some really interesting and pertinent things to senior citizens here in Sullivan County.
That's Monday at 10:30. And that's part of the Senior Citizens Coffee Club. And then you're going to be hearing from the Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress. As I mentioned, there are things for all ages the next day, cider and cookie decorating for kids.
Yes, we switched gears. I don't think we'll be talking about housing, but I'll be talking about all sorts of things for kids. And there will be, yes, there will be seasonal cider, and we will have cookies to decorate. And you do not even have to sign up for this. It's right after school. It is for elementary school kids. So yeah, you do have to be a certain age, and their families. And yeah, that's at 2:45. And, yeah, I might sneak over just to see what's being done.
I mean, after a day of talking about housing, you're going to want a cookie or some cider.
Exactly.
Let's talk about a featured display that's happening at the library this month. It is the Walnut Mountain House, a special display about that. Tell us a little bit more about the Walnut Mountain House and what's going on with the display at the library.
Yeah. So this is, I'm just looking through my newsletter here specifically, but here we go. This is actually was put together by Lisa Lyons over at Morgan Outdoors. And I don't know her last name, but I believe her first name is Ruth. And they've really spearheaded this. And there's a great display that we have up at the library. It just was put up. So, you know, a lot of people here, especially around Liberty, know Walnut Mountain Park. And if you take the trails up there, you can get up to some ruins that was this Walnut Mountain House. And it was, I believe it was run as a hotel up there. They've put together some great photographs. We're really encouraging people to come in, especially if their ancestors go back in Liberty, because there's a lot of people around this. There's a picture of the house, and we really want to identify the people. One person has been identified, but
well, that's good. Yeah. More than you had before. That's awesome.
Exactly. So come down to the library and take a look at this really great display that we have. And I did want to mention too that
Lisa
is going to do a walk,
a hike
up the Walnut Mountain. It's pretty easy to get up there, but you do wear some good stable shoes. It's on Sunday, October 20th at 4 p.m. And you do need to register. So you should call. In fact, I'll give you the number, Lisa at Morgan Outdoors, 845-693-4181 to register for that. But that should be really, she knows so much, and I think I'm going to register for that.
That's
one.
Really cool. Yeah, it's a history hike. I mean, I didn't even know there was the house up there. We see Walnut Mountain right outside our windows here at our Liberty Studios.
Yeah.
But this is interesting history to
It'll
to
be
know.
Beautiful, too, because the leaves are changing kind of slowly right now. So I think that it'll still be gorgeous.
And your ongoing memoir writing workshop continues. What's coming up on October 10th?
So actually, we've got the Writing Life Memoir Writing Workshop. I've got a bunch of regulars now, but we're always looking. We're always welcoming new people. And what we do at the workshop is that I send out a prompt like a couple weeks before. this actually, the prompt for this month is something to do with Halloween or at least the season. And, you can either write about something, you know, anything, but a lot of people like a prompt. And then what they do is we come in and we all read a couple pages. I try, sometimes people write a whole chapter and I usually try to limit it. So, and then we give encouraging feedback. And you know, people love it. And you know what? I, at the end of that workshop, it's usually about an hour and a half or so. I always feel so good because I've learned so much about these people, and everyone has been developing a voice, which is in their writing, which is just wonderful. And I couldn't encourage people more to, you know, come stop by and see what it's like. It's October 10th on Thursday at 3:30. And we also offer on the 24th, the fourth Thursday of the month, more of a creative writing workshop. And that's at 5 p.m. for people that, you know, that may work or just can't make it in the afternoon, but could make it at 5 p.m.
And you're looking for registration for both those?
Yes, I would like to have people register, and all you have to do is go on our website, libertypubliclibrary.org, go to events, and you'll see the whole calendar. It's very easy to sign up, or call the library, and we'll sign you up for you.
And if you don't like to write books or memoirs, but like to read them,
yes.
A book discussion.
Oh, yes, of course. And we have one monthly, and this month, it's the last Thursday of the month at 1 p.m. It's Heaven and Earth Grocery Store by James McBride. But we have a list of what's great is that the people in the book group, and anyone can come to this, but they pick the books in December. And so you know what books are coming up every month, which is really great. You can kind of get ahead if you need to.
This one's happening October 31st. Are you requiring those people to dress up at all?
You know what? That's a good idea. If you do,
dress up as your favorite author.
Extra credit for you.
Also, some other Halloween-themed things happening this month. Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas screening Friday, October 25th. Mm-hmm. And you have a Halloween-themed swing. Is that part of the senior swing?
Well, you know what? This is... So, yes, sort of.
Kind of.
Kind of. Every month, we do have a senior swing that's more senior-oriented or... a movement class two music. So many, I just love it. I do it with them. And I thought this month it'd be fun, on a Saturday right before Halloween at 1 p.m. So that's October 26th. We'll have the Halloween swing. And if you, yeah.
Perfect.
Tim, you're invited to.
Listen, I like the Monster Mash.
Exactly. We'll be dancing to the Monster Mash and Thriller and Ghostbusters. And I'm still putting, the whole list together, but if you dress up, if you wear something even a little Halloween-y, a little orange, you will get a special treat.
Oh my gosh, you had me at special treat. All right, before we go, we are waiting with bated breath here. Why is the last day of October called Halloween?
Oh yes, well I really looked into this because I feel like I'd heard this before, but anyway, it's the Scots actually are the ones that it's based. Halloween, I guess, originally goes back to All Saints' Eve, and in Old Scottish, ye old Scottish, Hallow meant saint, and een meant evening, and if you smush those two together, you get Halloween. So I just love that, and it also goes back to a Celtic a festival, even before that wasn't, you know, sainty at all, but, you know, it's all for me. It's all about like dressing up in the candy now.
It was a Celtic festival before that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Celebrating the end of summer and beginning of the dark part of the year.
Yes.
When the dead came to visit.
Exactly. So it's all kind of tied together, I have to say. But you know what? We've got our newsletter up on our website, libertypubliclibrary.org. You can look for the newsletter if you want to really look at that history of Halloween. I've got it up there.
Thanks for coming during this beginning of the dark part of the year to visit.
It's not so dark yet.
Not yet.
I'm not ready.
We're not ready. Tracy Gates from the Liberty Public Library. You can find out about all of the events we've been talking about and more at libertypubliclibrary.org. Tracy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. Have a great day.
You too. That'll do it for this edition of Radio Chatskill. A program note, our election coverage continues. On Monday, we'll bring you our conversation with State Senator Peter Oberrocker. He's the incumbent Republican representing New York's Senate 51st District, and we'll hear from him on Monday. and here on Radio Chatskill. And then next week, next Thursday at 7, we'll bring you live the debate between Representative Mark Molinaro and his challenger, Josh Riley. They are battling once again for New York's 19th. Molinaro, the incumbent, won that 2 years ago, helped lead a wave of seats that flipped and gained control of the House. And this seat is, again, one of the most competitive in the country. That debate coming up here live on Radio Catskill Thursday, October 10th at 7. We're keeping you connected this election season. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFRadio.org. Radio Catskill's annual music sale is the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and we need donations of high-quality vinyl records. We're looking for clean discs that have been cared for, collectible LPs in sought-after genres, rock, jazz, hip-hop, heavy metal, dance, even rare and valuable records. If you are a collector who's looking to downsize, give new collectors something good to take home. Email feedback at wjffradio.org and support Radio Catskill with your donation of high-quality vinyl today.
WJFF Jeffersonville, streaming live at WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Today's weather, times of sun and clouds, a high 72, partly cloudy, maybe a couple of showers later on, low 51, and a pleasant weekend ahead. Tomorrow, 67, nice periods of sun, sunny and nice again. Sunday, 68, the high, down to 62 Monday. It's 11.